The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. And, wow, do we have a busy show for you. In just a little while, we're going to hear from former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and he is sounding more and more like a future presidential candidate every single day. So looking forward to hearing from Secretary Pompeo. We did a pre-recorded interview, and it's pretty fascinating. We talked for about, 15 minutes or so, and covered a lot of ground from Dr. Fauci to this critical race theory, cancel culture movement in America, and, of course, whether or not President Trump should be actively involved in the Republican Party. So we covered a lot of ground, and you're going to want to hear this interview, an exclusive interview here on the show today. Also, Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to be here as well. She has a lot to say about what's happening with infrastructure in America. So, and a few other guests just sprinkled into the mix along with your telephone calls. So it's going to be a lot of fun today. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Again, that is ToddStarnes.com, and there's lots of great information for you over there. By the way, just want to mention this to you. Got an email last night from the South Dakota governor, Kristi Noem. She'd be a great vice presidential running mate for somebody. Kristi Noem has been petitioning the courts so that we can celebrate Independence Day at Mount Rushmore. As you know, Joe Biden, in a fit of rage, canceled the 4th of July fireworks show at Mount Rushmore. The last year of the Trump presidency, when they had that huge fireworks display, it was unbelievable, just absolutely unbelievable. Patriotic, the speeches, the singing, the fireworks, it was just absolutely amazing. And they were going to try to do it again this year, but Biden said no. So Kristi Noem filed a lawsuit, and the court handed down a ruling yesterday, and they said absolutely not. You're not allowed to celebrate Independence Day. Governor Noem released a statement. I want to read this to you. She says the decision was really arbitrary. That's why we are going to be appealing the decision. And the fight is not over. She says this is part of the radical left's agenda. They don't want to celebrate America or our freedoms. They're pushing critical race theory. They're pushing the 1619 Project. It's just another one of those battles to erase our true, honest, patriotic history in this country. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very curious to hear from you today on this issue. Are you going to celebrate the 4th of July? I know many of you are still in states where you are under some form of lockdown. You're not allowed to gather in large groups. I'm wondering how many of you are willing to say, you know what, we're thumbing our nose. We're thumbing our nose at the government, and we're going to go out there and we're going to celebrate. We're going to go out there and get the charcoal briquettes. We're gonna get the grills lit up and ready to go. We're gonna grill us some burgers and hot dogs. We're gonna put a rack of ribs in the smoker, and we're gonna celebrate America by doing what we do best, which is eat. And then we're gonna hear bands play, and we're gonna see parades, and we're gonna have floats, and we're gonna have beauty queens. Yes, I said it, beauty queens. We all know what those pageants are about. We're going to watch the fireworks explode over our skies at nighttime, and we're going to get all weepy.
Freedom!
That's what we're going to do. And I'm curious what you're going to do. Are you going to take a stand? And I'm telling you right here and right now, ladies and gentlemen, if we cannot stand up and celebrate our freedom on Independence Day, there's something wrong with us. That's all there is. There's something wrong with us. So anyway, good for you, Governor Noem. She's going to fight the good fight. And honestly, if I were the people of South Dakota, I would say, you know what? To heck with you, President Biden. We're going to go out there and we're going to shoot off fireworks and we're going to have a good old time. We're going to celebrate America. That's what we're going to do. So we'll see how the lawsuit goes. The National Park Service, of course, denying the permit. And they say the reasons are because of the China virus. What are they afraid? What are this? What, Washington's going to get the China virus? Lincoln? I mean, come on. Jefferson? Are you kidding me? Please. The National Park Service says they also have some environmental concerns. Okay, we're talking about fireworks. We're not blowing up a nuclear bomb over Mount Rushmore. We're talking about fireworks. They're doing this out of spite. And I just cannot stress this enough. Democrats hate America. They hate everything about America. I know it's a terrible thing to say, but it is true. We're not talking about your great-grandfather's Democrat Party. We're talking about a radicalized AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib Democrat Party. These people hate our freedom. They hate free speech. They hate freedom of the press. And by the way, this is the great irony. After the progressives and the Democrat Party strip away the rest of our rights, they're going to come after you people in the mainstream media. All you drive-by media types who are bending over and taking one up the wazoo for the Democrats, yeah, they're going to come after you. You think they're your friends, but they're not. They hate you too. And when push comes to shove, they're going to throw all of us into the gulags. You say, there you go again, Todd. What's up with the hyperbole? No, it's not hyperbole. We've got Bernie Sanders on tape, our good friend James O'Keefe over at Project Veritas, interviewing Bernie Sanders' campaign staffers, saying that if their guy had won, they were going to throw all of the Trump supporters into gulags and re-education camps. I believe we played the audio back in the day when that happened. So I say this. Go out to the Kroger, get yourself some hamburger patties, get some hot dogs, King Cotton if you can. Those are the best. And get out there and fight the good fight and stand up for freedom. Let's go to the phones. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ruth hanging out with us. Ruth, are you going to hide in your house on July 4th or are you going to get out there and celebrate?
Oh, my gosh, no. You know what I did for Memorial Day? I work as a personal chef, and the doctor has some kids, so I helped them decorate the front yard for Memorial Day. Only house on the block. We had stars in the bushes and flags everywhere, and, man, it was fun. No, I'm going to buy the best blueberries I can find. I'm a chef, and I'm going to make up a great batch of blueberry muffins, put little flags in them, and take them to our police and fire stations.
I love
it. Right? Then I'm going to make this great potato salad that my mother taught me to make when I was a kid. Every holiday we had it because I was one of nine, so that's a big deal to make that much potato salad. And I have served it to former presidents, colonels in the Army, governors. It's been served all across the country, so I have to make that. And then we're going to grill some hot dogs and hamburgers, and we're going to have fun. And we're going to thank God that we have the privilege of being born into the best country ever in history.
Ruth,
I love this country.
Ruth, I love this country, too. And I got to tell you something. It sounds like I would love your potato salad. You've actually served this potato salad to leaders of the free world. What presidents have eaten your potato salad?
Well, a very high-up lieutenant colonel in the Army. And actually, I used to work for an attorney who handled Jackie Onassis's real estate holdings. And so my potato salad, and I don't get against me because I had nothing to do, went to the Clinton household.
We don't judge. Hey, look, and, Ruth, when it comes to potato salad, we are bipartisan. So
right?
We don't judge.
The editor, Yeah, it was served to the editor of Vanity Fair magazine and the head of the tri-state area Homeland Security for ports. And the governor of Oklahoma.
Well, look at you. I mean,
not the present governor, but back away.
Well, Ruth, it just again, it sounds like you guys are going to have one heck of a great festivity and a great celebration. And Ruth, you're right. We need to be thanking God on July 4th for allowing us to be born in the greatest country on the face of the earth, a country that God has blessed abundantly, a country that is under the thumb of leftist Democrats right now. And we just have to work our butts off and get out there and reclaim our country in 2022.
And may I ask you something else?
Real quick, yeah.
You know, Andrew Womack had a lesson he taught about how God doesn't hang out with depression and difficulties. He'll feel your compassion, but God lives in joy, and his power and strength and joy. And one of our greatest efforts besides freedom is fun and joy.
I love
it. Everybody wants to be an American.
I love it. Yeah, that's why they're coming here, legally and illegally.
Right?
Uh-huh. All right. I've got the joy in my heart and Ruth's potato salad in my belly. It's going to be a great time. Ruth, God bless you. Happy 4th of July. We're already a month early, but you know what? We've got to start making our plans now. Ruth, thanks for the call. And folks, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be singing at the top of my lungs, and I do not have a very good singing voice, but Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Folks, I'm ready to celebrate, and I'm ready to have a good time because we're ready. And let's just make July 4th the day that we begin the effort to take back our country from the socialist. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
You know what feels great? Paying off those high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving money. Now you can refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95 APR with autopay and excellent credit, lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 18% APR. And I have a special deal just for my listeners. You can apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Now, the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/freedom. That's lightstream.com/freedom. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/freedom for more information. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Now, this is a very interesting story. And hang tight. We're going to get to Steve in just a moment. But I want to get your thoughts on this. So June is Gay Pride Month across America, across the fruited plain. And Gay Pride Month, they're flying the gay flag. And they're hoisting the flag at embassies and government buildings literally around the world. So every American embassy is going to be flying the gay flag, including the embassy at the Vatican. The U.S. embassy at the Vatican is going to fly the rainbow flag. Now, the U.S. embassy at the Vatican put out a tweet that said, "The United States respects the dignity and equality of LGBTQ+ people. LGBTQI plus rights are human rights, and it's causing a lot of concern among Catholics who say this is a great affront to them, because if you are of the Catholic persuasion, if that's your faith, then you do not support same-sex marriage. And this is causing a lot of controversy. The governor of Nebraska, who happens to be Catholic is among those who's very upset that the pride flag is being flown at the Vatican at our embassy. So the question is very simple. And by the way, this is a part of a survey we have on our Facebook Live page, which, hundreds and hundreds of you have already weighed in on this. But we're curious, should the gay pride flag be flown outside our embassies? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to Central Arkansas, our good friend Steve on the line, and he's got a thought about July 4th. Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. If I were Governor Noem in South Dakota, I believe what I would do is just get with the people up around Sturgis and try to tie the Sturgis bike rally into that 4th of July week and invite everybody in the country for a big 4th of July celebration right up there around that Mount Rushmore area. The park's only 1,280 acres. I just looked it up. That's all they're saying. From my understanding, the Park Service said no. All they've got control over is that 1,200 acres. Somebody might even talk President Trump into having a rally in that area up there, too, on the 4th of July.
Well, you know, the president is going to be speaking in North Carolina this weekend on Saturday. And you know what, Steve, that's actually a terrific idea. Maybe get the president, the former president, up there and do a repeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that park's only 2 square miles. South Dakota's a pretty big state. I think they could still have a 4th of July celebration.
Well, that's actually a terrific idea. Steve, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening to us. We appreciate all of our great listeners there in the beautiful state of Arkansas. So Governor Pete Ricketts, the governor of Nebraska, says, as a Catholic, I'm curious to know if the Biden-Harris embassy in the Holy See will promote respect for Catholic teaching on family and freedom of conscience, or whether we can simply expect more political stunts like this. And then he shared a photograph of the gay pride flag there flying at the embassy at the Vatican. Jeezaloo, America. All right, I got to talk about Dr. Fauci. So Tucker Carlson last night saying that it's time for a criminal investigation of Dr. Fauci. This treasure trove of emails, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of emails coming out, showing and exposing that Dr. Fauci knew a lot more than what he was telling the American people. Also, new information about hydroxychloroquine, that Dr. Fauci knew that hydroxychloroquine actually worked if it was given to patients early on in the early days of the China virus pandemic. So there are growing calls for a criminal investigation. Breitbart News calling Dr. Fauci Dr. Doom. And one of Tucker's key takeaways is that something is not right about Tony Fauci. He's a fraud. He was interviewed on Fox News last year, and he was not forthcoming. Tucker says, we've learned that Fauci was implicated in the very pandemic he had been charged with fighting, that he supported the grotesque and dangerous experiments that appeared to have made the China virus possible. And the greater concern is, were our tax dollars used to create this virus that was then used against the American people? Now, a lot of people out there, a lot of conservatives are saying, well, you know what, this was an accident. We don't believe this was intentional. I'm not one of those folks. I believe it was intentional. When you look at the political landscape, what was happening in America at the time that the virus was unleashed, I believe the Chinese were hell-bent on two things. Number one, hurting America. Number two, getting rid of Donald Trump. And they managed to do both. So we're going to be taking your calls about this. Do you think that we need to have criminal investigations of Dr. Anthony Fauci? 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is our website. Lots of great information there. Our free newsletter, free podcast. Be sure to check that out and take advantage of all the free stuff we've got. ToddStearns.com. We'll be right back. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again. Mike Lindell, introducing his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these incredible slippers designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Your feet will sleep. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you're going to want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or just call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Promo code STARNS. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. A busy news day around here. But I'm very excited to welcome an incredible guest, a great American patriot, and one of the best members of the Trump administration, a former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. Mr. Secretary, what an honor to have you with us today.
Todd, it's great to be with you. Thanks for the kind words, and good morning.
Well, good morning. And I want to start with what's been happening in the news with the release of Dr. Fauci's emails, basically affirming what you have been saying all along about the China virus.
Todd, I've had a chance to read some of them. You know, they do tell a tale about what Dr. Fauci and his team knew, and it's consistent with what I had seen. You know, back in early May of last year, now just a bit over a year ago, I was talking about the fact that the most likely source for the coronavirus itself, the Wuhan virus, was in fact from this virology lab in Wuhan, China. We knew it had come from Wuhan, and all the evidence kept stacking up, showing that it was likely this lab. You know, we don't know definitively, but every strand started to point in a single direction. What's most important about these emails, I think, is that we have to get to the answer of what happened here. This virology lab is still operating. It's still posing risk to the United States. We still have thousands of people dying each day around the world, and they're still likely conducting this same kind of research with the same absence of security. We need to know what Dr. Fauci knew, how he knew it, what it was he did to help get answers for the United States, for the American people, and then we ultimately have to impose real costs on the Chinese Communist Party for what they did to all of us.
I mean, there are so many layers to all of this, Mr. Secretary. Did China do this intentionally? Was it an accident? Were they trying to target the United States? And then when you look at the political landscape, were politics at play with all of the shutdowns and the quarantines? Were those meant to actually hurt the Trump reelection campaign?
Well, Todd, we know this much. We know that the answers to a number of your questions, the international component, the national security component, are sitting in the hands of Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party leadership. They could resolve this, and this matters. To your point about what happened, look, the most likely outcome is this was an accidental release. But there's still so much we don't know, and the Chinese Communist Party is determined, Todd, to make sure you and I and your listeners never learn the answer to those questions. That suggests we need to dig and dig and dig and impose costs on them until they fess up to what they did and why they did it and why they covered up for, frankly, to this day, cover up. Your point about the domestic ramifications, I think Congress ought to ask a lot of hard questions about all of what Dr. Fauci has in his emails, what he knew about this research, this gain of function research, where it essentially made it much more transmissible from human to human. We know that was taking place in that lab, and some of these emails suggest he knew and didn't share this with the American public when it might have mattered a great deal.
I know you saw all of this happening in real time, and you had the investigation launched. That has now been canceled by the Biden administration. Do you have any faith that the Biden team is going to get to the bottom of this, or do they want to get to the bottom of this?
I hope they do. The American people must demand that our government do everything it can to make sure this never happens again, Todd. And part of that is figuring out how it happened the first time, the failures that the Chinese Communist Party foisted upon the World Health Organization's enormous failures. I mean, Todd, don't forget, we left the World Health Organization because it was corrupt, and this administration re-entered it without asking the Chinese to do a darn thing to fix the very problem that killed hundreds of thousands of Americans. I hope the Biden administration is not going to take that kind of passive, nothing to see here, folks, approach to this problem set. They need to continue to do the hard work to get all the answers they can. And then there's the accountability element to this, billions of dollars worth of destruction to the American economy, and the prevention. How do we make sure this never happens again? If we don't look, if we don't dig, if the Biden administration just turns the other cheek because they want to be friends with China and on their Green New Deal program, this will be enormously dangerous to the United States.
You know, I'm one of these people, Mr. Secretary. I'm one of these for such a time as this people. And I really do believe that you've been raised up for this time. I mean, when you look at where we are in America right now, it seems that there are a lot of people struggling with who we are as a country. Freedoms are under attack, religious liberty under attack. And you have some really good thoughts on where we need to be going as a country.
Well, Todd, one of the things that saddens me most about this administration is they, much like the Obama administration, continue to denigrate the United States of America. We have our United States ambassador to the UN talking about how this is a racist nation to deeply, deeply authoritarian Marxist-Leninist regimes in China and in Russia and Iran. This is the most exceptional nation in the history of the world. The American people are noble people. We don't get it right every day, but the hardworking Americans all across this country get that. We were not founded on a racist idea. We were founded on a central understanding about freedom that make America so special, Todd.
What do you know, from your vantage point, what do you think is the biggest concern that we should have as a country right now, talking about America and our culture?
So the biggest concern is from within. I spent 4 years working on challenges from abroad, but I watched what was happening in the United States. The idea that our president can't go on social media is so deeply troubling. This idea that you can cancel an American leader from being able to express his views on things in the world. The world's watching that and saying, well, that's how authoritarian regimes behave. We have to make sure that kind of thing doesn't continue to grow and fester here in the United States. What's going on in our schools, too, bothers me a great deal. We shouldn't teach about groups and identities, but rather about individuals and liberty and ordered liberty and the traditions, our churches, our families, the things that, Todd, you know, make America so unique and so special. If we continue to educate our kids on this idea of race as the central theme of our time, it doesn't portend well for the future for the United States of America. And so every American should work hard inside their own community to stamp that out.
And of course, when you see what's been happening in the Pentagon, I mean, the idea that our military has been turned into a social engineering petri dish, and the kinds of people, you know, these recruitment videos, and I know you've seen them. What do you make of all of this?
It's so far from the few, the proud, the Marines, right? I was a young soldier, an alchemist, 3 decades plus ago. Our military is designed to protect and defend, to be able to deliver for the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, the power to secure American freedom. And when we by the way, we want diverse. I had a tank gunner that was a minority. That's all great, but he was my tank gunner because he was a really good tank gunner, Todd. I wanted him to go knock down targets for me. When we put this idea first of race and division inside of our military, when we create a woke understanding inside of these important institutions, the foundational institutions for America, we decrease the capacity for the military to perform its central role in helping keep Americans free. And that's unfortunate. I watch these ads, and they don't talk about patriotism. They don't talk about why most kids that I knew joined the military. They talk about things that are far afield from that, and that is dangerous, and it will reduce our capacity to keep America free.
I mean, it really is awful when you think about what these Democrats are doing. We broadcast this show from my home city, Memphis, Tennessee, and, you know, race relations, it's a big issue here. And the fact of the matter is that black Americans, they want the same thing that white Americans want and Asian Americans want. They want their kids to go to good schools. They want to be able to let their kids go play in the park without getting shot at. They want good jobs. And yet you had these folks in the Democrats that are trying to divide us along these racial lines again. And I just find that to be incredibly despicable and downright evil, Mr. Secretary.
It's the darndest thing, Todd, and it's deeply un-American. You see it, too, play out in different ways. You see it play out in the faith world as well, the rise of anti-Semitism, some of these things that have happened in our big cities where there's this division along religious lines where people feel free to say the most vile things about Jews. We see this division, this divisiveness, and frankly, it's coming from President Biden himself. The speech that he gave in Tulsa the other day had some lines in it that were truly, truly antagonistic to the central idea of equality for every single human being and every single American. I regret this. I'm confident that the American people want a different America from this. And when we turn to the elections in November of 2022, that's what I think the American people are going to demand.
You know, looking at 2022, I'm wondering, have you had any contact interactions with the former president?
I have. I speak to him with some frequency.
And how's he doing?
He's doing great. He's doing great. Look, he wants to stay involved. The work that he did, the policies that we put in place, both the policies that led to higher employment rates for African Americans and for Hispanic Americans across America than at any time in American history, those policies, the policies we put in place that deterred Iran and put the Chinese Communist Party on its back foot, those policies made sense. And the president wants to make sure that those policies continue. So I have every expectation he'll continue to stay very involved in making sure that the ideas that the Trump administration put forward are the ones that lead America on the path for the next 5, 10, and 20 years.
You know, there has been this debate in the party, and it's really not a division. I think it's a small but vocal crowd who say the president should not run in 2024. He should not be involved in the party. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh goodness! As for whether he decides to run for president again, he'll sort his way through that. But whether he has the right to be involved and whether he has a part of what it is that the Republican Party should do in the future, I think that's unambiguous. I don't meet but a handful of Republicans who don't believe that the work that we did as part of a 4-year policy that restored American greatness. That don't see that as the right trajectory for our party. And I'm convinced that he will play a role in that. He'll get to choose precisely what role that'll be, Todd. But at the end of the day, those ideas, the policies that we put forth, I think make sense to folks, not just inside of our party, but to your point earlier, there are people who have been Democrats for an awfully long time who saw that and said, that's my chance. That's my opportunity. That's the path forward for me and my kids and grandkids. And I want to be part of that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I was filling up the gas. I was filling up the Cadillac the other day, and I had some very unkind things to say about those Never Trumpers. I'll tell you that much. Well, Mr.
Yeah,
Secretary,
they've lost reason, and reason matters.
It does. You know, real quick, I want to brag on you. I've been following your career for quite some time, and it's just such an impressive resume you have. And Mr. Secretary, I know that you've probably got a lot of opportunities, but I think you're going to make a fine president one of these days.
Todd, that's very kind. I intend to stay engaged in this fight. To your point, I've been working on this set of issues that matter to America, to me, to my family for an awfully long time. I don't intend to walk away from that commitment. America's given me such amazing opportunities. I got to be the CIA director, a member of Congress, Secretary of State. I've been so fortunate, so blessed by this country. I want to make sure that every human being that is raised here in America gets a chance to have all the opportunity they can handle.
Well, again, it's an amazing career you've had. And if you need a press secretary, I'd be happy to, you know, smack around those folks in the
very
press
kind.
Room.
I appreciate that. Have a good
morning. All right. Mr. Secretary, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, a great American patriot. And the question really is here, folks, could Mike Pompeo be a future president of these great United States? We would love to hear your thoughts on that. He unpacked a whole lot of stuff here from China to President Trump and also to the really calling out the never Trumpers, the rhinos in the Republican Party. 844-747-8868, toll free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, got to tell you about our good friend Mike Lindell. Man, this guy has been such a faithful part of the Todd Starnes radio program, and he's always so good to our listeners. And he actually gives us some great discounts on their incredible products made right here in the good old U.S. of A. And now Mike is in the slipper business. My slippers took over 2 years to develop, and you can wear them indoors and outdoors all day long. And that's because the my slipper is made with the same kind of foam and impact gel that Mike uses in the My Pillows, which means your feet are going to thank you. Look, after a long day here at the Todd Starnes radio show, head back home, pour myself a glass of sweet tea in a mason jar, and put on the My Slippers, and it's very nice. So for a limited time only, Mike is offering all of our listeners 40% off his new My Slippers. That's 40% off. So inexpensive, you're going to be able to get slippers for the entire family. So here's what you do. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listeners Special Square, and use the promo code STARNES. That's MyPillow.com, and use the promo code STARNES. You're also going to get deep discounts on all sorts of MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNES. All right, let's go to the phones. Gainesville, Georgia. Russ hanging out with us on WDUN. Hi, Russ. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Love your show. I'm a 71-year-old, almost 72-year-old Army retired veteran, and I just wanted to say that President Trump gave voice and action to the beliefs of the about 70 to 80 million Americans who legally reelected him. And he gave voice and action to our beliefs, and not just our beliefs, but to the core principles of the Republican Party on which it was founded. And we haven't had that from Republicans in decades. And I'm really ashamed of the rhinos, elected officials at the federal level, who only give lip service to those things. And that is all I wanted to say today, and I appreciate the forum to do it.
Well, you're kind to say that, Russ, and we appreciate all of you guys there in Gainesville, all of the WDUN listeners. And I think there are a lot of folks, just like you, Russ, that feel like Donald Trump finally gave we the people a voice that the Republicans simply did not have at the time. And you can say what you want to about Donald Trump, but the reality is this is no longer the Republican Party of the rhinos. This is the Republican Party of we the people. And they're going to have to deal with that, or they're going to have to join the Democrats. I mean, those are the options here. And every time, you know, I told Secretary Pompeo this, every time I go to the gas pump and I've got to pay almost $3 for a gallon of gas, that's on the Never Trumpers. They're flying the Black Lives Matter banners over our embassies. I blame that on the Never Trumpers. That's the reality of our situation right now. So look, we're coming up on a break. We've got Connor in Boston. Hang tight, Connor. We're going to get to you. Also, a crazy story out of San Diego. A first grade class they're pushing transgenderism on the first graders. We're going to get into that also. Senator Marsha Blackburn is on the way. We've got a lot of great stuff happening for the rest of the show. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstarnes.com. Quickly becoming America's fastest and largest conservative website. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. We're going to get to the phones in just a second. This is an open line hour of the program, so whatever you want to talk about, you are free to do so. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So Mark Cuban, he's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, the NBA basketball team. And you might remember, a couple of months ago, Cuban announced they would no longer be playing the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, before basketball games there in Dallas. Instead, they apparently, play the Chinese national anthem? Is that it? Do we know? Can we verify that information? All right, we're working on it. All right, good stuff. Thank you. Let me know what we find out. So a lot of people in Texas, of all places, again, we're not talking about the New York Knicks. You know, we're not talking about the Brooklyn Nets. We're talking about Dallas, Texas. We're talking about the Dallas Mavericks. We're talking about the home of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. Probably some of the most patriotic people in America in the Lone Star State. As a matter of fact, everything's big in Texas, including their patriotism. So you can imagine a lot of people were really put out by this. They were almost as appalled as you would be if you showed up at a brisket joint and they were serving you tofu. It did not go over well. That's what I'm trying to say. So the Texas Republicans have passed a bill. It's called the Star Spangled Banner Act. And it now requires the national anthem to be played before professional sports games in Texas, unless the teams want to give up their funding and business relationship with the state. I love this idea. So here's how it works. All of these teams that are turning out multi-bazillionaires, they're getting government funding. They're getting government cuts and benefits, whether it be tax breaks, whether it be the beautiful facilities they play basketball in. And the state of Texas says, hey, look, if you want to dribble a ball for a living, if you want to dribble your balls for a living, we don't judge here. But you're going to pay a price. You're going to do something about this. You're either going to play the national anthem or you're going to lose all of your special perks. Honestly, this is what Congress ought to do for big tech, but they're too scared. They've got no balls. But the NBA, they got balls. They dribble them up and down the court. And the Republicans said, okay, here's the deal. We're going to pass this legislation. The governor, by the way, Governor Greg Abbott, it's heading to his desk for a signature. So they've already passed this. This is about to become law in the Lone Star State. The anthem snub by the Mavericks lasted 13 games. It was the first instance of a pro sports team banning the national anthem from the pregame. Mark Cuban confirmed that he was the one who decided the Mavericks should pull the anthem. Well, look, I appreciate Mark Cuban fessing up and admitting that he is, an anti-American jerk. Appreciate you doing that. The Mavericks did not promote this. They weren't trying to make a political statement, but in reality they were, because they pulled the national anthem. Now, here's what Mark Cuban should have done. He should have called all of his players together. All right, men, stop playing with the balls. Come here. Come gather around. All right, men, here's what's going to happen. Listen up, pay attention. The Dallas Mavericks men are going to stand for the national anthem. Hand over your heart. You're going to stand there as a sign of respect. And if you don't do it, if you do not stand for the national anthem, if you decide to take a knee or hide in the locker room, cower in the bathroom stall, then you're not going to play for that game. And we're going to dock your pay. And if you do it a second time, you're still not going to play. You're going to ride the bench, and you're going to get docked pay. And if you do it a third time, then you know what? You can go and dribble your ball somewhere else. That's what Mark Cuban should have said. But he didn't. He capitulated. And he decided to take the side of the athletes and the Chinese. So here's my question. Do you think that Texas did the right thing here? Should they have passed this legislation forcing teams that take money from the state of Texas to support the national anthem? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, our live show blog is up and running over at toddstarns.com. We have lots of great information for you there. Right now, though, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Very good to have with us the great senator from the Volunteer State, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, good to have you back with us.
It is so good to be with you, Todd, and it's so good to be in Memphis today. We're loving this.
Yes. So Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg is here, and I guess you guys, what he's looking over the I-40 bridge across the Mississippi River. You talk about infrastructure, Senator. That's it.
Well, you're exactly right. And this bridge is out. There is a crack in the steel supports in the bridge. And so our Tennessee Department of Transportation, the Arkansas Department of Transportation, the U.S. Department of Transportation are all working on this and trying to get that bridge reopened, because now that school is out, COVID is over, people are wanting to get out and about and do some travel. And, of course, logistics are what this region of the country, the Mid-South, are all about.
And, of course, Memphis, Tennessee is one of the major transportation hubs in America, whether it be the hometown of FedEx, and you have the Airtropolis, you've got the river traffic, Mississippi River, and of course, what, 50,000 cars a day go over that Mississippi River bridge on I-40. I mean, this is a huge, huge deal. And this goes back to something you pointed out a couple of weeks back, Senator, is that most of the president's infrastructure bill has nothing to do with actual infrastructure.
Well, that's exactly right. And to that list that you just went through, I would add railroads, because this is one of only two cities in the country where all of your Class A railroads converge, all five of them. So Memphis is that transportation hub. But here is the thing. If you're going to build infrastructure, you have to put into your plan the money to upkeep that infrastructure. Is the same thing you do with the house. Periodically, you have to paint, or you have to do repair in a foundation, or different components to do the proper upkeep for that house. And the same thing happens with our nation's infrastructure. And of course, too often the attention is put on building something new rather than maintaining and repairing what you have already built. And the taxpayers in this country, the citizens of the country, deserve to know that the infrastructure is safe and that it's dependable.
No, well said, Senator. And, of course, you know, the other big story that we're dealing with, and, again, you know, my hat is off to you. You have been on this story from day one. The Chinese and whatever happened in that lab, just a few moments ago, we had former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on. He says every piece of evidence points to this virus coming out of that lab. What do you want to see happen here?
Well, one of the things that we should be diligent in doing is looking at all of the information that we had. You know, Secretary Pompeo told us a year ago, that our diplomatic scientists had been quite concerned about this lab going back into 2018. Of course, when people like me said, this virus obviously came from Wuhan, because what did the Chinese Communist Party do? They immediately closed off all travel from Hubei province, which is where Wuhan is located, and said, if you live there, you cannot travel around China, but feel free to go get on a plane out at Wuhan International Airport and travel the world, which people did, and that is how the virus spread. So, yes, the Chinese Communist Party should be held responsible for this. And do we need to get to the bottom of this? Absolutely we do.
Senator, you've been crisscrossing the state of Tennessee. I know yesterday over near Jackson, you did an interview with the local reporters talking about the latest at the border crisis. And you pointed out that the president has just basically laid out a welcome mat to illegals. What are we looking at now? How bad are things now at the border?
You know, Todd, your listeners, I would say, should be paying attention to the fact that our Border Patrol has now apprehended 500,000 people at this border. That is since Joe Biden raised his hand and took the oath of office. 500,000 illegal entrants into this country. And we need to go back to building that wall. We also need to make certain that if the federal government is going to go back to the Obama practice of transporting these individuals to communities around the country, that first of all, they're going to call and ask permission and be transparent, because we know that with what has happened in Tennessee, our governor was contacted. He said they would decline the request to take these migrant children. And you know what? The federal government sent them anyway. And this causes pressure on the local communities. It is not fair to the local and state communities and their budgets, because they are thereby responsible for education, health care, housing, child services for these children, and these are traumatized children. This, no one crosses that border without first working through the cartel in order to cross that border. And you have to pay that cartel. So these children have been under the direction of the cartels. They have been physically abused. They have been sexually abused. And this is why it is so imperative that we put back in place President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy and not allow individuals to just walk into the country and claim asylum, but that there is actually a closed border. And even though our Homeland Security Secretary is saying the border is closed, the border is not. You would not have 500,000 apprehended illegal aliens since Biden was inaugurated.
Unbelievable.
If the border was closed. It is unbelievable. Now, the thing is, this does not include the gotaways, the ones that we do not know about. So, and we know these are individuals that have come from 160 different countries, 160 different countries.
Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. A lot of information you share with us, and we really do appreciate it. By the way, if you see the Secretary of Transportation, could you tell him to do something about that giant pothole in front of Corky's on Poplar Avenue while he's here?
I'll be sure and pass that along.
Thank you, Senator. All right. Senator Marsha Blackburn here in Tennessee today, Memphis, Tennessee. Pete Buttigieg is holding some conferences here, and they're trying to figure out what to do, how to repair the Mississippi River Bridge. It is a huge problem, not just for the Mid-South, but really for all of America, if you're planning on getting across the Mississippi River. All right, we've got to take a break. Hang tight, 844-747-8868. Lines are open, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
You know, my house smells so good. It smells better than it's smelled in a very long time. Thanks to my brand new air purifying system I got from our good friends at Eden Pure, one of the newest sponsors of our program. So I've been trying this thing out now for, what, week three? And we have not had any issues. I like to have the windows open. You get some fresh air. But the problem with fresh air, you get all the pollen and you start sneezing and coughing. None of that's happening. Thanks to the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. This thing is absolutely incredible. It eliminates any odor, no matter how bad the odor is. But it also takes care of those germs and the molecules that cause you to sneeze and cough and make your eyes watery. I mean, it really is some sort of a magical device, about the size of an Apple TV system that you would put on your entertainment system. So it's very, very economical. And I would encourage you to go right now and check this thing out. They've got a great website, and they explain all of the things that the Thunderstorm Air Purifier can do for you. They're also going to give our listeners some very special discounts, including free shipping, and you get $10 off the lowest sale price. So go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Put in the code word Todd. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word Todd. And you're going to get yourself one of these great devices, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I've got one, and I swear by that thing. All right, let's go to the phones real quick from Boston, our good friend and favorite millennial, Connor. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, pleasure. And I'm gonna tell you, I have one of those Eden Pure devices, and it is unbelievable, the air quality after you fire those things up. It's like almost like a fresh right after, like a morning after it's rained. It's just amazing, and it makes your lungs feel amazing. So I love mine.
I'm glad to hear that. But, I mean, it's pretty awesome device. But anyway, you should do the next commercial for us, Connor.
Happy to do it anytime. But Todd, I'm going to tell you, Mayor Pete's down there today. I mean, does he have work boots with him? Is he actually going to get the job done, or does he have some alligator loafers? Is the real question. Is he actually going to do something?
No, he doesn't wear boots.
You can always tell.
No boots.
But it comes down to these politicians who get in there, and it's for no purpose. It's like just for photo ops, just to stroke their own egos. And we're in the same place now from when they got into office. It's just unacceptable. I think when it comes down to even the administration we have right now, and to your previous segment on COVID-19 and the origins of it, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that this virus came from a lab in Wuhan, China. And if that is the case, which is like what I said, I strongly believe, it's like, what are we going to do? What are the actions that are going to be taken? In my opinion, we should be lighting them up at that point. This should be an act of war. We should dust off some of those Tomahawk cruise missiles and really hold them accountable, because this cannot never, ever happen again.
No, you're right. And I hate to do this. The music's coming on here. We've got a skedaddle. But that's a good point you raise. And I'm with you. If this was deliberate, if this was an act of war, we need to do something about that. 844-747-8868. Do you agree with Connor, folks? Should we go to war with China over this? We'll be right back. We'll be right back. You know, Grace, on this program, we're kind of an open book. I mean, we pretty much talk about everything.
Oh, yeah. You never know what you're going to get.
I think there could be an argument that we overshare sometimes. Maybe a smidge.
Maybe a smidge.
So I've been on a diet for about two weeks now. It's been terrible. So I'm giving up my the red meat just temporarily. I gotta do it. That's doctor's orders.
Okay.
So I've been eating a lot of chicken, and I gotta tell you, chicken just does not sound. It doesn't taste like beef.
No.
You know, man
tastes
can
like
only
chicken.
Man can only eat so much chicken.
What about fish?
No, I'm not a big fish guy. Never have been, actually.
So you don't like shrimp or anything?
Well, you see, I love shrimp, but I'm not allowed to eat the shrimp.
What?
The doctor said no more red meat, no more shrimp. That's it.
Man. That's just rough.
It's a tough life, guys. It's a tough life.
Well, you can prepare chicken a lot of different ways.
Yeah, but it's still chicken.
Tofu.
I love chicken.
Yeah, I'm not eating tofu.
He's suffering badly enough.
Mm-hmm. The doctor said I could still drink coffee, which is good, so I've got my community coffee.
Sushi?
As long as it's cooked, I'm good
cooked?
With that. It has to be cooked.
Oh, you won't eat, like, raw salmon in it?
No. That's why God gave us fire, so we wouldn't have to eat stuff raw.
Eat it in its
natural
state. I've
never had sushi before.
Oh, it's so good.
Avery, you were raised right. You were raised not to eat raw stuff.
My parents eat it all the time, though. I just don't like
delicious.
It.
It's delicious.
What's wrong?
It's so good.
No, you got to cook it. This is
Producer
why we
Kyle
have
agrees.
Pots and pans.
It's so good.
No, I disagree.
And it's pretty good for you normally.
You see, I don't know
carby,
about that.
But otherwise, if it's not cooked, yeah, because it's not breaded or anything. It's just the rice.
This is why we beat the Japanese. That's all they ate was sushi. They were weak because they didn't
okay.
eat.
That's it.
I don't know.
So the diet's been tough.
The diet's
been
tough.
But you're persevering.
No, I'm a little short-tempered, because, again, it's like unsweet tea and, chicken.
You mean a little more short-tempered than usual.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, I had that coming.
Is it kind of like, are you just a little bit hangry all the time?
Yeah.
No,
I have a shirt that says hangry, and I've worn it here before. I just need to give it to Todd. He needs to wear it when it's like in a bad mood.
Yeah, I've got to get into my TV figure. So, they can only use so many wide-angle lenses, so I've got to slim down.
Todd, all you got to do is just hire one of those personal trainers that all the Marvel actors use, and you'll be in shape in no time.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about a trainer. I don't want people yelling at me, I that's life here on the radio show.
That's true.
I don't want to go to a gym and so. Come on, Lord Ass, move it. That's not inspirational to me.
No.
I don't
do well with that either.
Maybe you could request personally just to be like, I need a trainer who won't yell at me.
Oh, that would maybe it want a nice
a positive,
lady.
You know, I took Merlo to puppy class last night.
Oh,
and we did positive reinforcement. So
really,
yeah.
Please.
Do you let Merlo eat beef?
No, I don't feed her people food.
So maybe we can commiserate.
So she sticks to the dog food and the dog treats.
Yeah. I had granola.
Oh,
just to have more fiber.
Oh,
I like granola.
You have some chia seeds. I put them in my yogurt every morning.
Yeah,
you don't taste them.
No, I was. We were going to talk about this. We were going to talk about this yesterday, and I wanted to bring this. This is a good point for us to talk about this now that Avery is with us. So I was down at the Peabody Hotel. Avery, did we take you down to the Peabody to see the Ducks?
Yeah, me, Caleb, and Dalton, and you all went to the Peabody Hotel.
We decided to take him downtown.
Yeah, I wasn't invited.
You had already left.
Yeah, it was probably with Merlo.
And so we took him down to see the March of the Ducks.
I was honestly really impressed.
A Memphis staple.
If you haven't been to the Peabody Hotel, it's been around for well over 100 years, and they march these ducks down at 10 o'clock every morning, and then they swim around in the fountain all day, and then they march them right back up. Really nice. It's a very elegant thing. They have a duck master who's dressed in uniform, and they play a Sousa march, and it's a great Memphis tradition. And so much so that the French restaurant, Chez Philippe, which is probably the fanciest restaurant in Memphis, they don't serve duck.
even though they're a French restaurant, out of respect for the Peabody Ducks.
That might be a little awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're swimming around in the fountain in front of the Chez Philippe, and you're always wondering, I wonder where Gladys went to. What happened to Gladys?
Poor little Gladys the Duck.
So I think it puts the ducks at ease. That, you know,
I'm sure
hey,
it
look,
does.
You know, you're not
knowing
gonna,
that their best friend isn't possibly being cooked in the other room.
Yeah, you're not going to... Yeah. You know, you're not going to end up on somebody's supper table.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, I'm down at the Peabody Hotel, and I've been very concerned for a long time about the number of Northerners moving below the Mason-Dixon line. And it's not that we're not hospitable. We welcome everybody in the South, you're welcome. But the problem is they're bringing all of their, like, Northern customs down here, and it's diluting, it's diluting the South. So I'm at the I'm at the restaurant at the Peabody, not Chez Philippe, the other one. And I'm sitting down for breakfast, and I thought, wow, I haven't been downtown in a long time, and they have delicious biscuits. And so I ordered some scrambled eggs and a biscuit. And Avery, the waitress looks at me and she goes, "We don't have biscuits." And I said, I said, "I can wait. I just thought they were out." She goes, no, we don't have biscuits on the menu anymore.
What?
What?
And
how
so,
can you not have that on a breakfast menu, like you said, below the Mason-Dixon line? Like, how is that not available?
Avery, I was stunned.
That is, that just blows me away.
I mean, how do you not, on a southern, it's a southern breakfast place, not have a biscuit?
So I inquired, I made a further inquiry, because you know me, we're in the journalism business, I wanted to get the bottom of this. And she said, no. Yeah, we took biscuits off the menu, and we don't think they're coming back. She goes, you can either.
They're not coming
she
back.
Says, you can either have toast or a bagel. And I'm.
You like bagel?
No. Yes, in New York City, which is where you're supposed to eat your bagel, but not in the South. You have a biscuit.
So she just said they're not selling them ever again. Mm-hmm. They have no plans to re-put them on the menu.
Right. So, and I responded, this is, the Peabody is the grand hotel of the South. This is how they advertise themselves. And I said, how can you call yourself the grand hotel of the South? And I'm being very polite. I'm not yelling at the lady, but it's like, what's wrong with you?
We talked about yelling. No yelling. I know you were
hanging. What's wrong with you? But, so I, no, I did not say that. So I said, how can you call yourself the Grand Hotel of the South and you don't have a biscuit on the menu? And she said, I'm sorry. This is, and I said, no, I get it. But if you don't mind, I'm just going to pay for my iced tea and I'm going to leave. I'm not going to have breakfast. And so as I'm walking out, one of the other ladies just sitting there, and I guess she was in the restaurant and she overheard this. And she says, you know, I thought the same thing you did. How do you not have biscuits at the Grand Hotel of the South?
Makes no sense.
And it reminded me of a story several years ago, back when I was in Asheville, North Carolina, and which is basically the Berkeley of the South. And I was there to do something. I was there to attend a drum circle. I was covering it. Yeah, they had all these hippies, and they were sitting around at the, you know, as the sun was setting, banging their bongos. And I thought, well, I'm going to have some time for supper. So there's a little barbecue joint, so I thought I'm going to go to the barbecue joint in Asheville, North Carolina.
That sounds fun.
It sounds delicious. And I'm sitting down, and Avery, the first warning sign, no sweet tea on the menu.
In Asheville, North Carolina?
Number two, they were serving something called barbecue tofu.
No.
Nope.
I immediately got up and rebuked them in the name of our Lord and walked out.
Did you yell at them?
Well, no, I was just stunned. I just got up and walked out. I'm like,
That's weird.
Is heresy.
That is very weird.
That is not great. Yeah, I don't like it.
Nope.
You know, I'm just wondering, and I don't know if other regions have this problem, but is your culture being diluted by all the liberals moving into your town? Because I'm blaming the biscuit debacle at the Peabody on the liberals.
But look, do liberals not like biscuits?
I don't know.
Probably not.
But I'm blaming them anyway.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I would blame. I don't have a problem blaming the liberals. It's
somebody
like
would.
How many times have I been out there? And you guys know what I'm talking about. Where you have the little kids, and when little kids back in the South when I was growing up, it's always yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir.
Oh, and
now they don't even say that. Very impolite.
Yeah, I had seen like some sort. It was like long time ago. Someone did like a I think it was like CBS or whatever. Like there's CBS morning show they have on Sundays. Someone did like a little, you know, monologue or whatever about how they want their kids' friends to refer to them by their first name. And I was like, nope, that's totally wrong. That is, you do not do that. You owe adults enough respect to put Mr. or Mrs. in front of their name.
I will say this. Sunday, I was in Nashville, which they've ruined that city. All the Hollywood people moved to Nashville and ruined Nashville.
You know, it's like the bachelorette capital of like the entire nation.
Oh, I believe it. I was minding my own business, and all of a sudden, I saw like this big, I don't know, like wagon filled with drunk women cavorting about down Lower Broadway the other day.
Oh, the party buses.
Is that what they call them?
Is that the one where they're like pedaling?
Yeah, and they have to ride their little bicycles.
Yes.
Yeah, there
I've
was some.
I've seen those before.
That was driving, operating a bicycle under the influence.
Woo!
Unbelievable. So I'm talking to a lady down there, and she's. I said, "Oh, where are you from?" And she says, "I'm one of the few people who's actually from Nashville, born and raised."
Wow.
So I'm wondering if this is an anomaly or if this is like part of a, you know, like you folks in the Midwest, you know, do you have people from California coming in and ruining your states?
A lot of people are running out of California and New York right now.
What about Atlanta? Yeah. That's really not a southern city anymore.
Mm.
It's not. Yeah, it's really not.
See, they call it, don't they call it like the New York of the South? I've never been there before. The New
I
York
have
City.
No idea.
It seems like I've heard that before. Sense. I've never been to Atlanta and I've never had a desire to go there. Because it, I've just heard that it's like a bigger Memphis, but I could be totally wrong. Okay. I've never been.
By the way, Chick-fil-A is trending on Twitter.
Oh,
and apparently the gays are going after it. What did Chick-fil-A
Again?
Do now?
Again? You know, they didn't change their logo to a rainbow, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everyone, suddenly my social media has a rainbow filter. Didn't know they installed that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why the lesbians and the gays have a problem with plump, juicy breasts tucked between hot buttered buns. I just don't understand.
I'm
that.
Looking. I don't know why.
I think we just crossed the oversharing line there.
Oh, did we?
I could be wrong.
But was it the hot buttered buns or the plump, juicy breasts?
Oh boy,
I'm pretty sure it was everything.
They're exquisite. They're chicken
and
breasts.
Pretty,
what do you?
I think
I'm
I found
sure
the reason it's trending.
All right, my bad. What's the reason?
It says so. This is on the Daily Beast.
Oh gosh.
The billionaire owner of Chick-fil-A, which promised to stop donating to anti-LGBTQ plus causes this year, is participating in a dark money operation fighting to keep the Equality Act from passing.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That's it. Here we go again.
You know what? Just enjoy the waffle fries and the nuggets.
No, it's okay. Just let, they can leave it. More for us.
You know, go to KFC.
They're a private company as well, so they can do what they want.
Thank you very much. Oh, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. I am curious about this. Is culture under attack in America? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, very odd story from the Irish Post, Grayson Avery. They did a survey of the Irish people, and turns out that 1 in 5 Irish people say they admit to being on Zoom calls, work Zoom calls, in their underpants.
Oh, that number's too low.
You think it's too low?
I think so.
So, according to the Irish Post, they surveyed a little over 500 people to find out how social interaction had changed over the course of the China virus pandemic and the lockdowns. They say that 29% of the Irish have faked a bad internet connection to get out of a Zoom meeting. Oh, I've done that, actually.
Did you really?
Because now you can't do, you know, like on the phone with the bag of potato chips, like crackle, crackle, crackle.
By the way,
now you got 57%
say they're suffering Zoom fatigue.
Zoom fatigue.
Mm-hmm, having spent over a year in constant video meetings. And 16% say they're logging into 9 or more Zoom calls each week. 38% averaging 1 or 2. But the big part of this story is that 1 in 5 Irish folk have admitted to going pantsless during work hours.
That makes sense. I mean, you're at the comfort of your own home. It's only from, like, the chest up. I think you're fine.
You think it's okay? You don't think there should be some sort of a protocol in place, a dress code for Zoom calls?
Well, what are they going to make you do, stand up and show? And people don't want to see that if there's a chance.
Yeah. Because I think, like, at the beginning of COVID, like, when a whole bunch of teachers were trying to, or when, you know, a bunch of schools were having Zoom class and whatnot, a bunch of kids were wearing their pajamas or something like that during a Zoom call, and their teacher's like, I need you to change. There's the dress code type deal thing. So, I mean, I'm kind of both sides of the same coin here. It really depends, honestly.
Well, I will say this. There was an issue early on with some of the teachers not being dressed. Remember that? I mean, there was some really inappropriate stuff going down.
Oh, yeah. We've heard stories of people doing freaky stuff on Zoom calls.
I'm just saying.
A lot of people, I think, wear pajama pants. So they'll have, like, a polo on and then pajama pants.
Now, you and I know somebody who used to wear pajama pants to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't over Zoom.
No, that wasn't over Zoom. That was unfortunate.
This is a workplace, not a Walmart.
If it's... Wow.
Dang.
Wow.
See, I don't think you should be wearing pajama pants in Walmart either. But I've seen worse than, hey, at least they're wearing pajama pants.
Oh, I've seen worse than that in Walmart.
I was going to say, looking like a Zoom call.
I try not to go to Walmart after 10 o'clock at night. But if you're there after midnight, yeah, you got to watch it because there's some freaky stuff going down at the Walmart.
Walmart's my last, resort.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't judge. I mean, look, I wouldn't say this in front of a national audience, but just between us, you know, nothing good happens at the Walmart after midnight.
Mm-mm.
I'm just saying. And we all
safe,
know.
Kids.
Yeah, I will deny that. If I'm ever on, you know, NBC, the Today Show or something, I would deny that. But I think there's a difference. I mean, if you're, pajama pants, all right. It's like the TV news anchors. You know, back when I was at Fox, you know, a lot of the anchors would only be dressed from the waist up.
What?
Yeah.
True. It's a true story. Sense. And because, you know, they don't, you know, they're only shooting you from the waist up.
I bet the women did not get away with that very much, though.
No, but I will say this. There were some on-air lady anchors, and
don't name names. Just...
I'm not naming names. There's
you're
no way.
You're pausing.
I'm,
oh, my God.
I know. No. I'm trying to. I just realized I stepped into something here.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
now
yes.
You're in it, so you
I
have
will
to
say
finish.
This. There were a couple of the female anchors, especially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they make up everybody pretty heavily.
Yeah.
And give them hair and the whole line. There were a couple. I didn't know who they were. I met them on the street without the hair and the makeup, and I didn't know who they were.
Oof.
Oh,
that's rough.
That's rough.
And I thought, man, give those makeup artists a raise.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they do some magical work. I'm just saying. It's, you know, guys too, but, you know.
True transformation,
yeah.
Huh?
All right, I'm going to shut up and... I need a biscuit. That's what I need, a biscuit. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Hope you are doing well today. There's a story out of Texas involving a high school valedictorian. We briefly mentioned this yesterday. Her name is Paxton Smith, and she was selected to give the valedictory address. Like many schools, she had to turn in a copy of her speech, and it had to be approved. So they approved whatever speech she was going to deliver, but she did not deliver that speech. Instead, she pulled out another speech to deliver at the graduation ceremony for Lake Highlands High School in Dallas. And I want you to hear some of what she had to say.
I have dreams and hopes and ambitions. Every girl graduating today does. And we have spent our entire lives working towards our future. And without our input and without our consent, our control over that future has been stripped away from us. I am terrified that if my contraceptives fail, I am terrified that if I am raped, then my hopes and aspirations and dreams and efforts for my future will no longer matter. I hope that you can feel how gut-wrenching that is. I hope you can feel how dehumanizing it is to have the autonomy over your own body taken away from you. And I cannot give up this platform to promote complacency and peace when there is a war on my body and a war on my rights. A war on the rights of your mothers. A war on the rights of your sisters. A war on the rights of your daughters. We cannot stay silent.
Holy crap, America. What was that all about? So this young lady, very upset, very concerned that her contraceptive devices might not work. Now, you know, if I was mommy and daddy sitting out there in the audience, that part of the speech would have caught my attention. Honey, what you been doing on the weekends? I mean, seriously, I mean, she's the one who said it. That voice, I was trying to figure out the voice. The voice sounds very familiar. And if there had just been a cackle or two, she reminds me of Kamala Harris. That sounds like a young Kamala Harris. Let's play. Can we play that again? I just want to go back and play that. Let's listen one more time.
I have dreams and hopes and ambitions. Every girl graduating today does. We have spent our entire lives.
All right, that's enough.
Ooh,
mercy. All right. A lot to unwrap here. But look, the question that people are debating in Dallas and really now across America, should this teenager, should she have been allowed to deliver this speech? Should the school have cut off her microphone once they knew that she was reading from a script that had not been approved? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, the little girl's parents were very proud of her. They were very proud of baby girl. And they said that she demonstrated maturity and poise and boldness. And she put herself out there and said her piece. Well, there's no doubt that she did, but it's what she said that troubles me. Because she says there's this war on her body. So who exactly has declared war on her body? She talks about her rights being stripped away. She talked about having autonomy. Now, that's all well and good. But let's talk about that autonomy for just a moment. This young lady needs to understand, and all young people in America need to understand this. When you decide that you are going to have sex and you find yourself with child, the autonomy ends because you, as the female and the male, by the way, you both have a responsibility to raise that child. Why should the child be punished for something that you did? But when I hear this child and what she was saying, it's very clear to me she was not raised in a household that cherished life. It's clear to me that she was raised in a liberal household that has no respect for the unborn, as if they can just be tossed aside, as if they can just be exterminated for the sake of expediency. But I'm curious to know what you think about this young lady's speech. Should she have been allowed to deliver that speech? What does it say about America that you've got kids with that sort of mentality? Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868, Central Iowa. Dean is listening to us on the KWAM app. Hi, Dean. What's on your mind?
Well, not a whole lot, but I think she sounds more like Greta Thunberg than Kamala Harris.
Oh, the climate gal.
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you?
Mm. You got it. You got it.
These young people nowadays.
Yeah. Hey, and we tried to get you on Central Iowa this time slot, but Stein just went and listened to us.
Well, we love our friends at KXEL, and of course we're also on another radio station in Cedar Rapids, Dean, and we've got that info on our website. But of course, you can always listen to us on the KWAM app, and we appreciate you downloading that. And thanks for calling in today. And by the way, folks, if you do not have a way to listen to the program, you can go to kwamradio.com. That's kwamradio.com. Click on the app, and you can download the app. Not only will you be able to hear my show, you'll be able to hear lots of other great conservative commentators like Sebastian Gorka, Larry Elder, Lars Larson, and Tom Sullivan. Great, great programs there on the KWAM app. Again, kwamradio.com. So, look, I mean, from a free speech perspective, she had every right, in my estimation, to give that speech. She was the valedictorian. This is what she wanted to say. I think she embarrassed herself. She embarrassed her family. She made everybody feel very uncomfortable in that room. It seemed like there were a lot of people there, but I didn't hear a lot of applause. Maybe I was mistaken. I don't know. I just didn't hear a lot of applause. But again, if you cannot ban the speech of your students. You can't do that. It's unconstitutional. And my contention is, if you are going to allow the speech of this pro-choice person, then you have to allow everybody else's speech. Here's my problem. How many stories have we done just over the past couple of weeks of valedictorians who've been told they can't mention God's name? If you're going to defend the right to kill babies, then by golly, you should at least offer the same freedom for people to speak the name of God during their graduation speech. That is a double standard. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, let's get right to the phones, 844-747-8868. Mike in Florida, listening to us on the great KWAM app. Hi, Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I definitely believe that China released that virus, and I think what we should do is confiscate any asset that China owns in the United States and consider any debt that we have with China paid in full.
Well, you know, they own about most of the country, so that would certainly put a hurt on them financially. I like that idea. I know we had a previous caller, Connor from Boston, who said we need to start sending missiles over there. I think that would lead to World War III, possibly. But I think this would hit the Chinese where it hurts the most in the pocketbook.
Yeah, that's what they care mostly about is money and power.
No doubt about that, Mike. But again, you know, I want to know, was this intentional or was it an accident? And I'm all the evidence I've seen, Mike, leads me to believe that this was an intentional attack, not necessarily on America, but on Donald Trump. I think they were trying to punish Trump for his crackdown on trade.
Yeah, and I think the Democrats were in cahoots with them myself.
No doubt about that, sir. No doubt about that.
And, you know, it's obvious that they did it on purpose when they weren't letting people travel from the Wuhan area to the rest of China, but they were letting them travel all over the world. That sounds intentional to me.
Yes, it does. Mike, you're a very observant man. Let's see how this plays out. We're not going to get a lot of intel because the Democrats control Congress. But let's see what happens in 2022 if the Republicans are able to retake Congress and we actually put a Republican speaker in charge who is going to hold Democrats accountable. I think that would be a good thing. Mike, thank you for the call, and we appreciate you listening to our program. My goodness. Princeton University, by the way, announcing they are going to end Greek and Latin requirements. So if you're majoring in the classics, if you're a classics major, you're no longer going to have to take the classics, Latin or Greek. Instead, they're going to add a race and diversity track. This is from the Daily Wire. Ash Scow is the writer. They're quoting Campus Reform. You know, can I just say something? It's these websites. It kills me. It's the Daily Wire reports that Campus Reform reports that Breitbart reports. Okay, who wrote the original story? Can we just link to the original story? I mean, geez, Lou. So anyway, we got the Daily Wire writing a story about Campus Reform, and they're saying the university added a track in race and identity that would increase flexibility for the concentrators, and they would, again, get rid of Latin or Greek. Jeez, Lou. The faculty claim the changes ultimately give students more opportunities. They also want to address systemic racism at Princeton University. As Campus Reform previously reported, Princeton University's diversity regimes have touched nearly every department at the school. Most recently, Princeton adopted a diverse supplier base that seeks to broaden the pool of supplier expertise, capabilities, and perspectives. More than 51% of the businesses that are involved at the university have to be owned and operated by people of color, women, veterans, or members of the LGBTQIA+ community. All I can tell you is don't send your kid to Princeton University. They're going to come out stupid. It's a sad thing, but it's the truth. Unbelievable. Then we've got this story out of San Diego. La Jolla Country Day School, very popular school there in that area. Children in the first grade class at Country Day School are learning about transgenderism and gender identity. This is from Young America's Foundation. On May 4th, La Jolla Country Day School's first graders were read a book titled It Feels Good to Be Yourself. Teresa Thorne is the author. The book is the story of Ruthie, a biological male who transitioned into a girl, and Xavier, the kid's cisgender brother, whom everyone thought correctly that he was a boy. I'm already confused by this. Jeez, Lou. The book on gender identity features a child that, I don't know if, is this child a lesbian? I don't know. But they're images, they're cartoon drawings. So you've got someone that looks to be, the kid could go either way, is the best way to say that. And then you have a girl who appears to be a girl character. And then you have, of course, the kid playing the ukulele in the wheelchair, because you got to have that. You know, it's all about diversity, Grace Baker. And then you've got the little boy who is playing with flowers.
This is very confusing. I miss children's books that were about, you know, Biscuit the dog having a birthday party. That's my kind of kid's book.
Concerned parents reached out to the school administrators. They're criticizing not only the book, Grace, but also the school's long-held leftist leanings. One parent said...
Sounds like there were red flags in this relationship a long time ago then.
Unbelievable. The author of the book, It Feels Good to Be Yourself, a book about gender identity for first graders, said that my daughter was five when she told me she wasn't the gender I'd assumed she was at birth.
I wonder how that conversation
Does anyone
went.
Believe that? I mean, come on.
I want to be a boy. That's all I can see.
Yeah, they were called tomboys, right?
You had I was a tomboy. Mm-hmm. I was very tomboyish.
On May 9th, a long list of concerned parents mentioned in an email to the administration that sexual identity explorations for first graders are often done without the consent of parents. So you're telling me they're taking the kids through and, all right, Billy, we know that God gave you male plumbing, but we think you may be a girl.
Gosh.
You know, that's confusing to the children.
I was just about to say, that's so confusing. Can you imagine? It's confusing for adults.
It is very
What in the world?
Very confusing. I mean, these parents are really frustrated here. Here's my recommendation. Send your children to private Christian schools. And better yet, if you are at the university level, send your kid to Liberty University. They're going to come back home during fall break, and they're still going to know their pronouns. That in and of itself may be worth the admission cost. The reading of the transgender book to first graders seems to be merely one example in La Jolla's wide efforts to implement diversity. The school says they plan to establish a school-wide transgender non-binary inclusion training course. And they plan to hire more transgender non-binary inclusion people. I have no idea what that means. Again, for first graders. First graders. What was it? Just, yesterday we were talking about all of the cartoons. The cartoons that were indoctrinating the children. And what was the show? Blue's Clues, where you've got the lesbian alligators in the cartoon now, and you've got the gay bears, one of which was wearing a feather boa. And then you have the transgender beavers. And that's... Now, is that transgender or trans species, Grace? Do we know? We don't know. All right. Yeah, I don't know. All right, we'll figure it out when we come back. All right, this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, President Trump just released a statement, and we have posted that statement over at toddstarnes.com. And basically, President Trump is asking the following question. Based on what we now know about Dr. Fauci, he says, what did Dr. Fauci know about gain-of-function research, and when did he know it? And the president rightly points out Dr. Fauci was totally against masks when the president thought they would at least be helpful. He then changed his mind completely and became a radical masker. There are a lot of questions that must be answered by Dr. Fauci. He wants to know about the funding of Wuhan by the United States. That was, by the way, started in the Obama years, 2014, but ended under the Trump administration. So President Trump is really fired up about this. You got to read this statement over at toddstarnes.com. Want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always good to have the great Congresswoman, Congress Lady from the great state of Florida, Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Kat, how's it going?
Hey, Todd, I'm good. And you can call me just Kat, or you can call me Congressman. It's okay.
Well,
we don't do the identity politics thing over here.
Well, your kindness. I got a little flustered. My apologies. by the way, yesterday we had Nancy Mace on from South Carolina.
Yes.
And, you know, it's crazy, but the mainstream media completely ignoring the fact that her home came under attack. You know, whenever Republican women come under attack, the media turns a blind eye.
Absolutely. You know, and it's just disgusting what they did, vandalizing her home. Nancy's a single mom with two kids, and you saw what they wrote on the street on her house, the vulgarities, and you know, her kids are wondering, am I safe? Are we safe? And you know, I've talked to Nancy a couple times, and actually more than that, but you know, coming up into orientation as freshmen, she had a pretty tough primary and general election, and she was dealing with some pretty crazy folks then, and it hasn't stopped since. And so when we saw the news about that, I reached out to her. But you know, it's true. The media wants to ignore what happens to us as conservative women. I know for me personally, at my home, we had Antifa at our driveway at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. And my husband, who is a firefighter and a SWAT medic, was on his way to work. It was still dark. And he gets to the end of our driveway, and there is a group of them protesting with signs and pots and pans and cowbells and blow horns. And they had signs that were saying white silence equals white violence. And it turned out to have to get the sheriff's office involved. It was terrible. And of course, the media doesn't talk about it.
No, they don't. But the good news is she's not going to be bullied. She's not going to be intimidated.
No.
For goodness sake, she not only has a concealed carry permit, she used to work at Waffle House. So I suspect she can take care of herself. So
Nancy's pretty tough.
Yeah.
She's going to be all right. But yeah, I'm just so disappointed that that's happened to her. And really, you talk to any of the women, especially in our freshman class, they have been through it. So by and large, keep the freshman women in your prayers, because they're facing some pretty tough battles that no one wants to talk about.
You know, President Trump coming out and now offering his thoughts on these emails from Dr. Fauci. You know, Jim Jordan among those saying, hey, we've got to have some investigations here. What's your reaction to what we now know?
You know, I have to get really a tip of the hat to my good friend, Senator Rand Paul. He came back and said, I told you so, because he has been working diligently to try to expose the hypocrisy and the lies that this man, Dr. Fauci, has been promoting. And the emails are vindication for all of the representatives that have been fighting for truth. And, you know, we see in the emails that he ignored the fact that the virus could have been engineered. He was circulating articles on gain of function as of February of 2020. You know, he was so quick to throw Ron DeSantis under the bus, but he was quiet when it came to Cuomo or Gavin Newsom in California. He was cherry picking the people he would go after. And the thing that is most egregious to me, besides the fact that we have lost so many people because of his lies, is this notion that the masks were working. He acknowledged in writing that the masks did nothing or very little to prevent the transmission or spread of COVID, yet has kept everyone by federal mandate masked, which has destroyed these businesses. It has destroyed relationships. We have kids that are having psychological impacts from having to try to communicate and really understand social cues while being covered up. I mean, it is absolutely unconscionable what this man has done. So I am very much looking forward to an investigation into really digging into the emails and finding out what he knew, why he was covering it up, what the motivations were. Obviously, there's some fiduciary motivation here, because clearly, in the midst of a global pandemic, he had time to write a book. And that, I am sure, will result in some sort of payout for him in the future. But I think now more than ever, it's up to us as conservatives to make sure that his hypocrisy and the policies that were so detrimental in destroying our economy and really destroying people's lives are brought to light.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there were some reports circulating last night that the book had been removed from the pre-orders from all the major book companies. Just a few moments ago, looking at this, the hashtag Fauci lied, people died, now trending on Twitter. And it's a terrible thing. But the reality is, to your point, they got this thing wrong. And I'm glad you brought up the what he had to say about those face masks, because he was out there defending himself this morning and saying, well, the science changed. Okay, fine, let's go with that. The science changed. But he also said those face masks you buy at the supermarket or wherever, the drugstore, are not effective. The manufacturing didn't change, so that still holds true. So even, fine, the face masks still don't work.
Yep. And we knew that, though. I mean, my mother-in-law has been an ICU nurse for 43 years, and she, from the get-go, was saying, listen, this is a very contagious virus, but it's going to affect those that have chronic conditions, that are overweight, and she called it. And when they were in the hospital short on PPE, they were having them wear the same mask 3 days in a row. And she even said then, she's like, you know, this doesn't do anything. And the hospital administrators acknowledged that. And they said, yeah, but, you know, the government's telling us that we have to mask up and set a good example and do X, Y, and Z. This was the ultimate smoke and mirrors dog and pony show if I ever saw one. You know, it's everything from the masks to the vaccines. I mean, heck, even in the email, Fauci acknowledges that the vaccines are not 100% necessary for the epidemic to end. He says that the epidemic, and I quote, the epidemic will gradually decline and stop on its own without a vaccine. Those aren't my words. Those are Dr. Fauci's words. And here we are having battles over vaccine passports and really discriminating against people who want to make a choice for themselves and their families over a vaccine that they don't necessarily have all the data and clinical trials to say one way or the other how it's going to play out long term. If you want to get the vaccine, great, fine, go for it. That's your choice. But I'm really proud to be here in the state of Florida where the governor has said, listen, this is a personal freedom choice. If you want to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. If you don't want to get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine. But even Dr. Fauci, after promoting it and pushing this and pushing this and pushing this, he acknowledged back in March of last year that, quote, the epidemic will gradually decline and stop on its own without a vaccine. That's pretty ludicrous after everything we've been through today.
No, you are absolutely right. And Kat, we're going to have to leave it there. We've got to scoot out for a break. Always appreciate your candor coming on the program. And thanks for fighting the good fight.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Todd. Have a great rest of the week.
All right. You too. Congresswoman Kat Kamick. She told me to say congressman, but I said congresswoman. But she's pretty awesome. You know, Blackburn used to do that. She was like, call me congressman, you know, back when she was in the House. All right. We do need to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
You know, going back to this this valedictorian over in Texas, the one who was all upset because why was she upset? I mean, she wanted to be able to kill her unborn baby. Is that what
I believe the quote was? A war on her body.
A war on her body. Do we know who had declared a war on her body?
No, I think I missed that memo.
Yeah,
I missed it.
It seems maybe a smidge of hyperbole there.
Maybe a little.
But kids, she was saying that, you know, if she was forced to have a child, that it would ruin her life.
Basically.
All right. So here's advice. Gather around the radio, children. And I want to explain this to you as you're about to graduate. Maybe you just graduated. If you don't want to have a baby, then don't jump into the bed and fornicate. Right? Keep your pants on, guys. Ladies, keep your clothes on.
Best prevention.
That's the best prevention. It's something called abstinence. It's 100% effective, by the way.
That is 100% effective.
Save it till the honeymoon. Just save it to the honeymoon. I know that's a very unpopular opinion.
Yourself.
But if you do that, then you will not. You will not have to worry about buying diapers.
Nope.
At least for a baby. I'm just saying.
Just be like me. Just get a dog.
And if you're a Baptist, don't dance. Because, you know, I'm just kidding.
Ooh,
I'm
man,
just
watch
kidding.
The dancing.
It's just kidding. That's it's a
sure
joke.
You were, Todd. Sure you were.
I think there was a time when, you know, Baptists thought your dancing was worse than fornicating. Maybe Baptists led to, or maybe dancing led to that. I can't remember how it worked. Trying to remember what they taught us in Sunday school. I'm in so much trouble right now. You know, my pastor is going to send me a text message. Todd, what are you doing? What?
About to get calls.
Todd, stop. Just stop.
Get on the prayer list.
But there you have it, yeah. Folks. Hey, right. You know, and that's on a regular occurrence, you know, that we're on yeah. somebody's prayer list.
I know.
That's not a bad
You're
thing.
On a lot of prayer lists.
I have an unspoken. Unspoken. Maybe we should open that up. We could do a Jeez. Prayer request
hey, everyone
hour.
Who put Todd on their prayer list, give us a call. There you
oh,
go.
Gosh.
That'd take up a whole show.
We need about 30 more lines. That's what we're going to need.
Yep.
But seriously, going back to this high school graduation, I mean, you know, the society now says, what have you done? The phones have lit up, Grace. This
I think
is
that's
on you.
Producer Kyle being a little mischievous.
This
over
is
here.
On you. So look, society says go jump in the sack, and you know if something happens, if you get pregnant, you can just kill the baby. That's a problem in our country. You know, we ask God to bless America, and then you turn around and you kill all these babies, these unborn babies. You think God's still going to bless America? I don't know, folks. I don't know. Google, this is from Breitbart, Lucas Nolan, the author. Google has removed Kemu Bob from the head of diversity. So this guy's name is Kemu Bob. He is the head of diversity over at Google. Wrote a blog back in 2007. He said, the Jewish people have an insatiable appetite for war and killing. He is still employed by the company, but he will no longer be the head of diversity. Instead, he's going to focus on other things in the company. BBC was the first to report that he had been removed from his job for saying that Jews had an insatiable appetite for war and killing. This was all part of an essay, a post, titled, If I Were a Jew. He slammed the nation of Israel. And just goes on to write horrible, heinous things. There is a lot of anti-Semitism in big tech, in big media, and within the Democrat Party. And it ought to concern people, but I don't think it does. Because this is who these people are. They're Jew haters. And when you throw in all of these rules and regulations they've been shoving down our throat over the past year of this global pandemic, they're behaving just like the Germans were back in the 1930s, and they need to knock it off. Knock it off. From ToddStarnes.com, we have this story. A North Carolina county is now banning Coca-Cola vending machines. I love this story. Surrey County in North Carolina, the commissioners there sent a letter to Coca-Cola, and they said they were banning the machines in county-owned buildings because of Coca-Cola's criticism of Georgia's new voting laws. The commissioners voted 3-2 to ban the machines. That's according to television station WRAL. That's in Raleigh, North Carolina. Eddie Harris is the longest-serving commissioner in the county. Here's what he had to say. Millions of Americans believe the last presidential election was not held in a fair manner. This is true. And that more voter fraud will occur in the future of elections if elections are not more closely monitored. This is true. And regulated. And that's true, too. Commissioner Harris went on to say it was time someone spoke out against left-wing politics. And he hoped that Surrey County's action will spread across North Carolina. And he said the problem goes far beyond Coke. So clearly the reporter asked a question. Well, aren't you just trying to cancel Coca-Cola? And the guy responded, yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do. We are trying to cancel Coca-Cola to use their tactics against them. Now, look, we don't like boycotts here, but we don't have a ban on boycotts because every now and again, we may have to boycott something. But by and large, I don't like boycotts. But I like this idea because, you see, you're doing to them as they did to you. Isn't that in the Bible? No, I'm sorry. That's not in the Bible. It's do. My apologies.
There you go on another prayer list, Todd. You have it reversed, my friend.
I'm going to get excommunicated from the Baptist Church. Do unto others before they do it to you.
No, it's do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
I got one of those newfangled translations.
Oh, that's geez, not, you got the Message Bible.
I got the progressive cancel culture Bible.
I'm just kidding.
What'd you say?
I'm kidding. I said the Message Bible.
Oh,
I'm
my gosh.
Kidding.
Are they a sponsor? No.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just telling
you. Just look it up, Todd.
Okay. All right. So, all I'm saying here in Surry County is they're giving them a dose of their own medicine. And I think that's a great idea. You know, if Coca-Cola's going to go out there and get involved in politics, then they get what's coming to them. Because you know what's interesting? If you don't drink Coca-Cola, you can always drink, I don't know, Dr. Pepper. You can drink some iced tea. You can have an Abita Springs root beer, the best root beer in America, made in Louisiana. Or you can even have some good old-fashioned, and I know this is thinking way out of the box, but you could just have a lovely, nice, cold glass of tap water. And your life is going to go on. You don't need Coca-Cola to be happy in life. You just don't. So anyway, let's see what happens here. Let's see if other county commissioners across North Carolina, I don't know, man, we got a lot of listeners all over America. Maybe we could start a trend. All right, folks, been a great show. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow with trivia thrown into the mix as well. Get out there. Have a good day. Be good, America.